are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. We are grateful and blessed to have you join us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our church prays regularly for you, the listener. It's our desire that God would use these broadcasts to deepen your understanding of the Scriptures and your faith in the God who inspired them. Thank you for investing your time today. If you have questions or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-205-6552. This week, we will listen to message number 12 in a series titled Living in the Spirit. For 12 weeks now, we have been amazed at how much more there was to know about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. The very presence of Jesus indwelling us does far more than we imagined just a few short weeks ago. What if we were more intentional about recognizing His presence? What if, instead of just living life, we truly sought and surrendered to the Spirit of God? What if we sought His guidance for the minutes rather than just the big events of life? Our prayer for you is that you would come to understand the gift of the Spirit more deeply today, and that you would surrender to Him in everything. Would you ask God to help you do that as we listen to this message by Pastor Sam Chess?
We're talking about living in the Spirit, and we are on 12.
Isn't that 3 months?
I admitted to you last week that in spite of the couple of degrees in theology and 38 years of preaching and teaching, sometimes on this subject, on the Holy Spirit, teaching classes on the Holy Spirit, that I'm realizing now that my own understanding of the Holy Spirit has been woefully like that picture on the left right there. I showed you that last week. Just full of holes. I mean, there's lots of information. We have information about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I showed you this thing on the right a couple of times. That's what you typically see. What's the Holy Spirit do? Well, let me give you the 6th bullet point. And that's what I learned. I mean, I went through Bible college. I went through seminary, and we learned, okay, here's the 6 bullet points. Get them down. You'll have it. No, you don't. The 6 bullet points looks like that. It's like 6 pieces stuffed over here in this picture. You know what I feel like has happened to me in the last 3.5 months? You know in the movies where the climax of the movie is the discovery of a long-lost buried treasure? You know that? Like in National Treasure. There it is. There's the picture. You remember when the wall is broken down, the hidden wall is broken down, and you remember even as you're watching the movie, that sense of, oh, and the fire goes back through and the lights come on and you realize that there's this vault that's absolutely filled with buried treasure. And then that's the end of the movie. Everybody claps and then the credits roll and you're wondering, what about the treasure? It's kind of where we are here right now. We're going to end this series next week. It's the end of the series. And yet I feel like that we've just gotten into the treasure room. We've just started to figure out the depth of what God has promised us. He said, Jesus, I'm leaving this earth, but I'm going to send my Spirit who will fill you. And He will lead you into all truth. Whatever that is, most of it's still in the vault for me. Although I'm getting it. But most of it's still in that vault. It's this treasure that somehow or another needs mine. Whatever Jesus meant in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Whatever that is, most of it's still in the vault for me. But I'm getting some of it. Whatever Paul meant when he said in Ephesians 3, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. All glory to God who's able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask. Whatever infinitely more is, it's infinitely more because we haven't figured out yet even what to ask for or think. So I become convinced of a bunch of stuff, but three things I'm going to put up here on the screen. Three things I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that this entire treasure room of the infilling power and presence of the Holy Spirit, all that's available to you, and I want you to understand, I'm talking to you today. I'm certainly talking to me. Everything that's available about the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is available to you, to every person in this room, every person. If I'm not experiencing in this life right now, this last week, you just lived this last week, so did I. But if I'm not experiencing whatever Jesus meant by his phrase, fill you with power from on high, and the last thing he said, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, or when he said, I'm going to lead you, if I'm not experiencing being led into all truth, whatever that means, it's not from a lack of promise or provision on God's part. He's ready to do it for you, and he's ready to do it for me. Number two, I'm convinced that many Christians spend their entire life hovering around the door. Just if we find the door, and that's what so many of you have said, and even perhaps myself, so many of you have told me, I've been around church a number of years, and nobody ever said any of this stuff. We didn't even talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what he's supposed to be doing in me. So perhaps we get in the door, and we whoa, look at that, that's really something. I'm in the door, I'm good. Number three. The most spiritual among us, the Mother Teresa's in the room, have perhaps only made it a few feet into the treasure trove. There's so much more that God is offering to us than we even realize, or he wouldn't say he's going to accomplish infinitely more than you could ask or think. If you couldn't ask or think more than you have already, he wouldn't say that. So here we are. This last 3 months, we broke into the treasure room. How did we do it? We certainly didn't do it with six bullet points. We did it by pulling everything that's in the Bible on the Holy Spirit, and we put it on sheets, and we handed it out to you, and you've been reading it. Some of you have been reading it very carefully. 27 pages of Scripture out of the Bible on what the Holy Spirit's role is and what he's supposed to be doing in our life. And if you didn't get that, we don't have any that were available giving you today. You have one handout in your bulletin that's a prayer. But here's kind of where we went with this, okay? And I'm going to shift it now. I gave it to you before, now I'm going to change it. Five things that we put on this screen several times. If you take all of the scriptures in the New Testament and you pack them all down and you separate them out, they all fall easily into these five categories right here. What it means to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. What it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about that one more time for a few minutes here. Even though we've spent a lot of time about what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We had 4.5 pages of scripture talking about the power that God wants to be in your life. And it's not for the person beside you, it's for you and for me. And I'm only that far into that. What it means to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Half of all the material in the New Testament is about the transformation that the Holy Spirit on the inside is supposed to bring. Being taught, being guided into all truth by the Holy Spirit. And that's the big one for me. I'm still saying, God, what am I missing here? I haven't been listening enough to be guided into all truth. And then the last one we're going to talk about today, we're going to get into it, the last half of this message. What does it mean to be gifted by the Holy Spirit? What does that even mean? But let me just change this now. After building these five, now I want to change them. I want to change the order. I want to change the way they show up. First of all, we'll take the first one. The first one is important. You can't start anywhere without it, but we're going to move it over and we're going to put a Roman numeral on it. We're going to make this like an outline. The first one is this indwelling or this filling, nothing else comes. No empowerment, no being taught, no being gifted until that takes place. There has to be a filling of the Holy Spirit, an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And here's what we learn. I hope this is what we learn. That's not a one-time thing. That's not something that happened to you 42 years ago and hasn't happened since. Ephesians 5:18, and sometimes the old version of the Bible kind of messed us up on this because they didn't give us the reality of what the present tense participle is telling us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something that's supposed to be going on in our life. It's something that's supposed to have happened this last week. And it's something that's supposed to happen in this coming week. But the being filled isn't like just dumping something into a barrel. In order for the Spirit to fill me, I must submit to God. I must empty out the self-sovereignty And then the Spirit has more ability to fill and more room to fill and the more self-sovereignty. In fact, we've said it like this, and this actually means more to me every time that I read it. I heard it years ago, and it's not really how much of the Holy Spirit you have. It's more about how much of you the Holy Spirit has. Because the more of us He has, the more He can fill. And the more He fills, the more of us He has. And then the less you are in tight-fisted control, the more He can be in control. The less there is of me, the more there can be of you. Does that make sense to us? Okay, that's that half. Let me show you the other half, and I want to show you this one more time. We'll put it back here on the screen. The filling of the Spirit is not like filling a jug or a barrel, which is the way I envisioned it for years. It's not like filling something up till it gets full, and then their little bit runs over the top. It's like filling a sail. That's what He wants for you. He wants to be filling you. He wants to be propelling your life. He wants to fill every fiber of your life until it pushes you along in the direction you're supposed to be going. But when we're not filled or we're not being filled, this is what we look like. And many of us have lived there. I've lived there or some part of thereof where we're not being propelled. We're walking in the flesh. We're not walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the flesh, there's no propelling. There's no filling. There's nothing going on. And God is saying, I want to change that. I want it to be different than that. So let me just ask you questions. Can I ask right to you today? In all honesty, everybody in this room, see this thing. How much would you say this last week, that your week, the way you responded this week, was a byproduct of being filled and propelled by the Holy Spirit? Just asking. About how much? Don't answer. That's rhetorical. How much of my decision-making this week was just me, my thoughts, my ambitions, my desires? And how much of it was the Spirit leading me into all truth? How much of it was me listening, and then when He spoke, following Him? Or how much of it was me just bullying on through, doing what I'm going to do? How much of what came out of my mouth this week, what I said this week, at work, or at home? Home's a bad one, isn't it? Or at work. Or driving through this ridiculous traffic that absolutely choked our town this week. Did you notice? How much of what came out of our mouth then? Some of you already confessed this one. I'm now confessing too. Bless you, brother, for pulling in front of me. How much of what came out of my mouth this week was just my old sinful flesh doing what my old sinful flesh does? And how much of it was me being led along, propelled along by the Holy Spirit? He was actually shaping the way I talked and shaping the decisions that I made. And I don't want you to say, I honestly don't want anybody in this room to say, oh, I'm such a jerk. I yelled at a guy out the window this week. What I really want us to do is say, what if? What if it could be different? What if I don't have to be the way I've always been? I don't give a hoot about you feeling guilty. Don't feel guilty about what you've been in the past. What I'd love you to say is, there's a treasure trove waiting for me. I can walk on into the room. There's more there than what I've experienced. God's offering me so, so much more. I had a guy in my office this week who said, I've been thinking about this Holy Spirit thing, and I think I'm starting to get it, he said. And I think he was too. He said, I've been telling myself, you've got to do the right thing. You've got to do the right thing. And then finally it occurred to me, he said, me telling myself to do the right thing, stop saying that, don't do that, don't watch that, don't look at that. Me telling myself to do the right thing is still essentially me being in charge. Imagine that. I'm going to fix me. No, you're not. We've all tried that, yes? This whole thing, and he said this, and I reword, this whole living in the Spirit thing
is not about me fixing myself. It's about me submitting myself to the indwelling Holy Spirit and allowing Him to transform me. He's in there for some reason.
He has things He wants to do. Ephesians 3, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Who's going to do that? Who? I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He, watch this, Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases Him. Who's doing that? God. God's doing it. Let's try another one. Hebrews 13, may He equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to Him. Who's going to do it in you? How much of it are you going to fix in yourself? See, when we try that, when we try to fix ourselves, usually we fail. If we don't fail, and somehow or another we get something fixed, we get so arrogant. Have you noticed that? We get so arrogant. Look what I fixed. Don't you get tired of hearing people tell about what they fixed in themselves? I went to lunch with a guy one time. This is not part of the sermon. And I'm sitting there feeling so bad about myself. It was many years ago. And I looked across, he was a pastor and he was older than me, and I looked across the table at him and I said, how do you deal with the weakness issues in yourself? And he said, as soon as I detect them, I immediately set out to change them. And I have them changed quickly by the next week, and then I move on. And I'm sitting there going, I don't do that. Let me just give you a couple more. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living. Okay. The part of the treasure trove that I'm starting to discover, though, getting into the room, is how intentional it's all supposed to be. That's why you have a prayer, and that prayer is longer this week than it was last week. In your bulletin, it's a prayer. It's designed to be prayed, consciously, intentionally praying for God's Holy Spirit to help you, to Him to do, to help you submit to His promise guide, to lead you away from the flesh, to lead you away from the things you would normally. Don't try to do it yourself. Allow Him to do in you what He's there to do, which is lead you away from your default setting. Our default setting is to walk in the flesh, and instead to move you toward walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, filling our sails with the wind of His guidance and power. That's not a bad illustration. That's not a bad visual. Tuning your ears to hear His voice. That's something I've been working on that I've way more than ever before. Listening for His voice, and then walking in what He tells me rather than just bullying on through myself, and letting your life radiate His promised spiritual power. These things, hear me this, and this is just eating at me. This will change your life. What I'm telling you right now is life-changing. It concerns me that this truth has the power to absolutely transform people's lives. But if they don't hear it, 10 years from now, they'll be exactly the same as today and wonder where they missed the key that would have made all the difference. This is the key that makes the difference to our teenagers. This is the key that makes a difference to our children. If we can teach them how to live in the Spirit, it will change their whole life. They won't be bumbling around 12 years from now, wondering what just happened. I'm using I a lot. I told you that last week. But to have God regularly break through the fog that makes up my mind so often, with detailed answers about my life. He's been talking to me. And the lives of you in this body, He's been talking to me and to other leaders in this church, rather than just bumbling along, hoping somehow the Holy Spirit's going to be there and bless whatever we've decided. The pastors here went down to Miramar on Thursday to meet with a bunch of other pastors, a free church pastor. And we go around the room, and they went around the room asking each person to say whatever God was saying to them. And so I get to my turn, and I say that I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to do exactly what Jesus promised when He was leaving. I want Him to lead me into all truth as it relates to my life. And I just say this in two sentences, and I finish, and I'm looking at the leader and the people, and they're just staring at me. And these are pastors. They're staring at me. And later on, they came up to me and they said,
kind of like, well, duh. That's what Jesus said he was going to do, isn't it? It's exactly what the Holy Spirit's supposed to be doing, and that's what we need. And these are pastors, and I'm a pastor. But it's like I'm just figuring out just how much I need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Not in a general way, but in an intentional daily life. Please hear me this. Please hear me this. If you haven't mentally connected with what I've been saying for the last 12 weeks, would you please hear this? Would you please hear this? If Christian living to you means asking Jesus to forgive your sins, that's good. But if it means that, and then it means spending the rest of your week struggling rather unsuccessfully with chronic temptation, I can resist anything but it. If it means desperately trying to obey some set of religious rules, if I can just do these 10 things, if I could just keep them, if I could just keep my nose to the grindstone, but I'm filled with ravenous appetites to do other things. I have ravenous appetites to do what isn't particularly biblical, and I have no appetite at all for what the Bible seems to say. I don't have any appetite for the Bible at all. There's just something that's not there. I'm a Christian, but something's missing. If we're never quite sure what direction we're going in life or what direction we're supposed to go in life or how we're going to get to where we're going or what we're going to be, where we're going to be once we arrive because we didn't know where we were headed to start with. And whatever these gifts of the Spirit are, clearly they're meant for other people because I have absolutely nothing to give to the rest of the world. I'm just completely consumed with myself. Will you hear me today? Will you hear me today? What God is offering to the person next to you is the same thing he's offering to you. There's no difference between any of you that are in this room or any Christian in this world.
We take a brief pause from the broadcast to welcome those of you just joining us. We're listening to the 12th message in a series titled Living in the Spirit. We were transformed by the power of the Spirit when we trusted Jesus. That same power remains in us in this broken world. The Holy Spirit's presence in us provides us with power to overcome temptation and defeat in our daily lives. He offers guidance for every area and decision of life. He continues to transform us so that the world can see the glory of God and the hope that comes from Jesus. The Holy Spirit asks us to actively surrender to Him. Pastor Sam has been speaking about a resource from the Scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit. Everything that the Bible says about the person and work of the Spirit has been compiled into a booklet. Studying this resource will change your walk with Christ. We would love to give you this resource. If you have questions about this or a need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, your questions, and your prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message by Pastor Sam Chess.
When Jesus died, He extended to you the pathway to have your sins forgiven, cleansed, and forgotten. That's wonderful. That's good. And when He rose from the dead, when He defeated death and rose, He offered to you eternal life. That's wonderful. But there's more. When He ascended to heaven, He said He was going to send His Spirit who would infill you, and that infilling is supposed to be accomplishing all kinds of things in your life last week and this week coming and the week that comes after that. And here's how the outline's changed, all right? Here's the outline. Here's the Roman numeral one. Here's the indwelling. You don't go anywhere. You don't talk about gifts. You don't talk about teaching until you talk about infilling or filling. There's nothing. They're not going to be taught in the Spirit until the Spirit is on the inside. Okay, so filling with the Spirit, we've already talked about that. That leads to big point A underneath. The filling of the Spirit, we're told by Jesus, leads to the empowerment of the Spirit. There's supposed to be something about my life that shows His power coming through, not just me working in my own little power. Now, under that, I put these other three categories. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit manifests itself in three ways.
being taught by the Spirit leading you into all truth? Are you being led into all truth? Are you being led into some truth? I want the all truth part, yes? Being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Number two, and thirdly, we'll come back here in a second, being gifted by the Holy Spirit. We spent a lot of time on the filling, and I don't apologize for that. The filling part is critical. Filling the sails, unshackling ourselves from the sin that makes up our life and allowing His filling to take precedence. And I asked you this question last week, and I want to ask it again on the power part. If the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit was flowing unhindered through your life, what would that look like? If the Spirit on the inside was empowering you, and we know what it looked like in the early church, we know what it looked like, what would that look like now? And I'm asking myself the same question. What would that chest be like if I didn't stop him, if I didn't argue with him all the time, if I didn't think I knew better? So we've got those three categories, but let me just spend just a moment on them. The power of the Holy Spirit, the part that leads into this, isn't the ability to levitate objects off the ground or split a tree with your gaze. It's the ability to begin to hear the voice of God through all the static that makes up our lives, to move in harmony with His direction, to get guidance from Him and move in it. It's the ability to break the power of sin in our life away from the default setting of walking in the flesh to the new setting of walking in the Spirit. It's the ability to increasingly leave sin behind, to submit ourselves to our Creator. It's the ability for our lifestyle to be spiritually transformed inside, and then eventually the transformation begins to show up on the outside. And it's this empowerment, it's this life of transformation and influence that God brings. And also it's the ability for God's transforming on the inside to show up through these gifts that He gives us, until the world around us begins to be infected and affected. But here is the list, and we'll spend just a moment on it, the empowerment of the Spirit, and then we'll move on to the three things that the empowerment of the Spirit. First of all, this teaching, just a moment here, the teaching. We spent some time on this on Wednesday night. If you're not here Wednesday night, you're kind of missing a chunk. But the Holy Spirit's first significant role is that He inspired Scripture. He is the inspirer. He is the breather. And if we have no input from the Bible, we're not getting a whole chunk of what the Holy Spirit has already shared with us, already has for us. But then we're told in Ephesians that He then digs through the truth of God and gives us the wonderful truth. So there's things He leads us. He takes the Bible, He buries that in our heart, and then He even takes us sometimes and explains and adjusts and shows you how that's going to work out in your life. So He wants so much to be the guider, the teacher. That's number one. Number two is this transformation. It's not walking in the flesh. It's learning to walk in the Spirit. It's learning, allowing, watching other people, seeing the fruit of the Spirit begin to show up in our lives, begin to define us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And then lastly is this category called the gifts of the Spirit. This category is dependent on the four above. It's dependent on it. There has to be an infilling. There has to be transformation. There has to be an empowerment. You have to be taught. And then we come to the area of the gifts. And here's the way I would explain this. The indwelled, empowered, increasingly transformed believer, living moment by moment by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, uses their Spirit-selected, Spirit-imparted spiritual gifts. That's straight from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll show you in a minute. Spirit-selected, Spirit-imparted spiritual gifts to bring God's transforming power into their homes, churches, communities, and out to the world. That's the role of spiritual gifts. So let's discuss. This is the one area that many people want to talk about first, and I'm convinced you cannot talk about this one first. This one comes under the others. This one is very important to discuss after we've discussed the filling and the empowerment and even the teaching and the transforming. This one comes next. Because, and let me just read this one more time, the indwelled, empowered, increasingly transformed believer, living moment, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, uses their Spirit-selected, Spirit-imparted, and now I've put 1 Corinthians 12 in there because I want to show you that in a minute, spiritual gifts to bring God's transforming power, not just in, but then out to the rest of the world until the world around us is changed. Now, it's no secret to most of you in this room that this is the one area in any discussion about the Holy Spirit that can be the most divisive. Isn't that interesting? Whole denominations have been established on differences of viewpoint on this one aspect of teachings about the Holy Spirit. I don't believe what you believe about the spiritual gifts. I don't think you got that one right. Amazingly, stunningly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I've never seen this before. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the entire chapter is about spiritual gifts. It's a long chapter. In this huge long chapter, it begins to explain to us the role of spiritual gifts. All the other stuff is already packed in. Now we get down to the subject of spiritual gifts. So you have this entire chapter devoted to defining for you the subject of spiritual gifts to every single local church that will ever be, including this one that you're sitting in here today. Number two, the whole theme is that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believers using their spiritual gifts will bring huge eternal benefits to the entirety of the Christian faith and outward to the sinful, needy world around them. Now watch. One half of that chapter, there's 31 verses in that chapter, one half of that chapter, you have a sandwich. You have the beginning of the chapter explaining spiritual gifts. You have the end of the chapter explaining spiritual gifts. The entire middle of the chapter, 15 of the 31 verses, are devoted to telling us that as part of one body of Christ, our spiritual gifts are designed to unify the church. Spiritual gifts were never designed to divide God. Through the Apostle Paul uses an entire chapter, half of it, to tell us this is supposed to draw us together. This is supposed to cause us to work as one. Clearly, the use of spiritual gifts was causing friction even in the early church. Because the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 12, defining spiritual gifts. Two chapters later, there's another entire chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The entirety of that chapter is written to once again instruct about spiritual gifts, but in some cases correct misperceptions. So you've got 1 Corinthians 12 here, all about spiritual gifts. You got 1 Corinthians 14 here, all about spiritual gifts. And what's in the middle? The love chapter. Why is 1 Corinthians 13? Why is the love chapter right smack between two full chapters about the use of spiritual gifts? Do you think it's accidental that Paul plops the love chapter right between two sections on spiritual gifts? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Or is the discussion of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is the whole package loving our brother and sister, is it part of the same discussion about Spirit-led, Spirit-guided Christians using their spiritual gifts for the benefit of their brother and sister? Is it all part of a package? 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels and do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There's something there. Somehow or another, spiritual gifts need to have added to it this admonition to love. Now, hold that. Everybody holding that? Hold that thought, and let me take you to the other classic passage in the Bible that defines spiritual gifts. The other classic is in Romans chapter 12. And now, as soon as we mention Romans chapter 12, I didn't have a clue about that. I didn't ever see that. What I'm getting ready to show you, I had no clue of before this week. Romans chapter 12, as soon as I say Romans chapter 12, into your mind, many of your mind, it's some of your favorite chapters, that Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I have quoted that more often than any scriptures ever in the last 26 years. It is some of our very favorite in the Bible,
And when you start reading it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, but we don't ever connect it to the verses that come immediately after on spiritual gifts. It's like we say Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then we forget verse 3, and we completely forget verses 4 through 9. It just doesn't connect. Well, yes, it does. And I want to show you just how clearly it connects, how utterly important this all is to you, and how it connects back to the Holy Spirit. Here's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Let me show it up here. Therefore, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual. That's verse 1. Without us putting it up, what's verse 2? Do not be conformed. Here it goes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Here it is in the NLT. To brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, your soma, your body, soul, spirit to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 1. Verse 2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing. You say, Chess, did we just change subjects here? We were talking about the Holy Spirit, and now we're talking about spiritual gifts, and now we're talking about Romans 12, 1 and 2. What'd you just do? This is so important. Oh, this is so important. When we were talking about the Holy Spirit, how many times, a dozen times, we've come to the book of Romans. But when we come to the book of Romans, we don't go to chapter 12. We go to chapter 8. 8 is one of the most powerful chapters in the whole Bible. Some of your favorite verses come from chapter 8. And the classic passages about our relationship with the Holy Spirit are all found in chapter 8 of Romans. Let me just pop some up here. And I'm just picking out of all of these verses just a few phrases. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you and Christ lives within you, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your, there's the word soma, to your soma by this same Spirit living within you. For if you live by sin's dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, that's 8. That's 8. It goes on. It ends with nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. And we get all excited. We get to the end of 8. We go, whoa, that's neat. But we also like 12:1 and 2. But right in the middle are chapters 8, 9, and 10. Listen to this. Paul literally takes, not literally, but in the Occidental mind, the Oriental mind, we're Occidental. He literally takes a set of parentheses and he puts it in there. He says, listen to me now. I want to talk to you for a little bit about your relationship to Israel. I want to talk about how Israel relates to this brand new Christian church. And I want to talk about how these Gentile Christians are still part of Abraham's promise. And he takes 3 chapters right in the middle of this, 9, 10, and 11, and he explains all of this. It's just, it's an unfolding, but it's not connected to chapter 8, not really. And then he comes back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and it's like Babe Ruth stepping up to the plate with the bases loaded. He has set the entire stage. He's building this entire case about the interaction of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And finally, he gets the bat back, and Paul comes in Romans chapter 12, 1, and he starts out like, and so, dear brothers and sisters, so what? So because of everything I've told you in Romans chapter 8, so because of everything that you understand now about the Spirit living within you and not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Do you understand this backs right smack to the end of Romans chapter 8? The other part's a parenthesis in the middle. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your soma. Where'd you see that last? In Romans 8. Give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, you get to the end of 2, and we close our Bibles, and we say, wasn't that great? No, we missed 3. We missed 4. We missed 5. Here's what that goes on to say. Once we've lined this all up and we understand that I'm giving my body, I'm committing myself to God, a sacrifice, I'm going to live in his Spirit, I'm not going to walk in the flesh. Once all of that connects in our minds,
Then he goes on with verse 3, and here's what 3 says. So fascinating. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give you this warning, Paul says. All right, you got all that, Paul says? Now I want to warn you of something. I want to warn you. Don't think of yourselves better than you really are. Whatever all of this power that God's going to bring into your life, whatever it means to have Him in you and you walking in Him and you're beginning to see this stuff working out through your life, I don't want you to think it's about you. This is about God in you. Don't think of yourselves better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us, or by the standard of faith that God has given you. Now watch this. He's going to add something in here that is critically important, and it is a discussion of the spiritual gifts. Here it goes. You're ready, he says. We've talked about submitting yourselves to God. We've got that all lined up with you walking in the Spirit. Now I want to get to this point, Paul says. Here's the point. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. One body, many parts, all different. And so then he begins to explain. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing so. It just fascinates me. I've never seen this before. I've already pulled all of this. I have it available for you on Wednesday night. God uses the exact same word for grace and for gifts. There is a link. His grace and his gifts are linked. They're the same word in the Bible. In this case, having charismata according to the charis, having the gifts according to the grace. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, gift number one, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Do what He's given you to do. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. Third gift. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, all of these things we're all supposed to do, but some people have a gift to do far more than others. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now we have a beginning of a list of spiritual gifts, and then he says, what's he say next? Let's go back to that one more time. Don't pretend to love others. Why is that there? That's exactly the same thing that he did in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Somehow or another, the use of our spiritual gifts has the potential to cause us not to love. And God is saying, whatever you do in the use of your spiritual gifts, make sure they're motivated by love. They're for the benefit of the body. Make sure they're for the benefit of the body. So let me just take you back to 1 Corinthians 12. Now he's going to begin to explain. The list is going to grow. Dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities that God has given us, pneumatiko. You're getting very familiar with the word pneuma. That's the word for spirit. The spirit abilities. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand this. There are different kinds of charismato, different kinds of spiritual gifts. But the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, different kinds of ministry, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So all of us are waiting and ready, right? Here comes the next list. This is a bigger one. A spiritual gift, literally a manifestation of the Spirit. Or somebody questioned, well, that's singular. No, that's the NLT. The word is literally a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give a word of wisdom. Maybe that's you. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Maybe that's you, or maybe you have both. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. That one is a repeat. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles.
and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Literally the phrase, pneuma, you're very familiar now with pneuma, distributing separately to each one as he purposes. He's chosen the gifts for you. The question now is this. We got the filling part. We've got the empowering part. We're working on the guided part, the teach-guided part. I'm just so much working on that part. The transformation, what he wants to do inside of us. Now, this fifth part is just as critical. Every one of you in this room, if you are a believer, has been gifted by God to transform the world around you. The question is, are our arms open or are our arms shut to that? It can't be shut. There has to be an openness. There has to be a willingness to allow this infilling God to do in us and through us everything he designed. It's the reason he put us on this planet. It's the shaping of your life. God, what are you asking from me? What are you doing in me? What are you producing through me? Let's pray. God, you know us here, and we've only just kind of worked our way into the beginning of this topic, but there is so much of this continuum, this completeness of what you're trying to do inside of us. And now we're into the part of giftedness, God, and there are people in this room. I've heard people in this room say, I guess I don't have any gifts. I see God's given gifts to other people, but not to me. God, we understand that that's just simply not the case. Oh, if every single person in this room were able to exhibit every gift that you have empowered us with, and we're able to do it to the extent with which you have empowered us, this one church would transform this whole community. There would be no person untouched. Oh God, what you want to do in us. And we're kind of right where we were so many other times. There is this sense of, am I willing to just say yes? Let me just ask you, if you're that person on that chart that God has given the gift of teaching to, where God has given the word of wisdom to, you're the one that just sees right through all the chaff. Or if you're the one on that list that God has given the gift of giving to, and maybe you have more than others, and God is tugging at your heart to say, I'm choosing you. I have people who have need. You don't. I'm giving you a gift. I'm going to let you do what other people could never do. Maybe you have the gift of knowledge. Maybe it's so easy for you to absorb truth. Maybe you have the gift of knowledge and the gift of teaching. You can absorb truth and you have the ability to put it in words to other people. And maybe you're sitting each week not using those gifts. And I'm just imploring you. This isn't about the church here, although it is. You're in this church. Your gifts are necessary. Every person's gift used in conjunction as the Spirit has given them creates a powerful church. Not just a powerful person, but a powerful church. But I'm saying this about your life. If God has infilled you, if God is empowering you, you're being transformed. He's guiding you on a daily basis. The next step is whatever he has gifted you to do, I must do what he's called me to do. I cannot say no. It breaks the whole pattern. It breaks the whole flow. It stifles the power. And so I'm asking you once again this morning to say yes to God. Whatever it is that he's nudging you on,
Some of you are sitting here today saying, you know what, I do have the ability to teach. I've taught for years, but I'm retired now. Are you? Are you? So I'm asking, I'm imploring one more time. Would you allow God to do everything through you? Whatever the treasure trove out in front of you is, and you're wading out into the treasure trove to find what the Spirit of God wants in and through your life, would you say yes? Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to the message today. Our prayer is that you are being changed as you learn more about God's work in your life through His Spirit. Please join our pastors now for a roundtable discussion about the awesome work of the Holy Spirit in the here and now of life. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Crashaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, and Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
For many years, I didn't realize that Romans 12, 1 and 2 would change your life completely. I know that when I first came across these verses, they really meant a lot to me. And I realized that I was using them for my own self. And it says there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "So dear brothers and sisters, give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. This is the true way to worship." And then it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will for you." And I've always looked at those verses as vital. And I gave my life to Him. And He showed to me in areas of my life where I am to change. I also feel that when you come to a place in your life where there is times when God has to give you different versions of this. I mean this by the fact that when I changed my career, I also realized that He gave me different gifts. If your gift is serving others, serve Him well. If you teach, teach well. If your gift is to be encouraging, it is the gift of giving you the responsibility of knowing what you should do. And that is where I came to realize that God is giving me gifts today that weren't pertinent then and they are now. And so I am really dependent on Him guiding me.
Pastor Ian, a lot of what stood out to you is what stood out to me. We all have very different, unique gifts meant to edify the body, meant to build up the body, to encourage the body, to exhort the body, fellow believers. I mean, look at this. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach them well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. What I love about that is I'm never going to forget when I first walked into Bible college, one of my professors said, as pastors, there's three primary gifts. You have teaching, encouraging, and administrative. And he said, very few of you are going to have all three. Most of you are going to have two of those three as your primary giftings. And the whole point of me saying all that is this. There's a reason that not one person on this earth has every single gift. Yes, some have more than others. Some may have two, three, four, but no one has every single gift. And it's because we are in need of one another as we are growing in our personal relationship with Jesus, and that no one can have a big head, no one can grow an ego, that we are all humble before the King, serving others in the name of Jesus for His glory and His fame and His renown. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your power. We love you. We trust you. we are believing for more in the days ahead, for your glory, for your renown, for your fame, and for our joy. We pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is our prayer that God has blessed you as you've listened today. We invite you to visit with us on Sunday mornings. Join us for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We also have a children's program that takes place during the worship called Disciple Town. It's a fun and engaging time of worship and learning for your children ages 4 years old through 5th grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during Bible classes and our worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. There are many activities for worship, service, and blessing here at Grace Emmanuel each week. Please contact us or visit our website to learn about the opportunities for you and your family here. We believe that God wants to do an amazing work in your life through the power of His indwelling Spirit. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com. Remember to request the free resource on what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the risen Savior grant you grace and power and joy. We look forward to seeing you soon.